Scripture reading this morning comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Philippians 3, 1 through 16. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I have attained the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained.
Morning, dear friends. Once again, I think it's good to read long passages of Scripture. I think it's good to read a lot of Scripture before that we start out our lessons, because I want you to know that what I'm preaching today is from God's Word. It's not from my opinions or thoughts. It's from what God has to say. And one example that we're going to look at today is of a man who really changed his entire function, his entire mission in life. He changed everything about himself. He counted it all loss. Everything he worked for his whole life, he changed really all for God's sake. All of it. And that man's name we know to be Paul, who also was known as Saul. Persecutor of the church, Pharisee, Hebrew. A really, really religious, zealous man in Judaism. Yet he changed all of himself and counted that all loss to become a Christian and to become an apostle of Christ. So we're going to talk about that today, how Paul chose to really forget all of those earthly prosperities that he could have had. All that earthly prosperity, the fame, the wealth, everything he could have had as an upper member of Judaism. He chose to forget all of that just to obey God, just to obey Christ. He chose to forget all of that. He could have had everything, but he chose not to because of God's sake and for God. Now, some people are born into this life with inheritances. Some people were born into this life with money. Some people were born into this life with good family names. Paul was one of those people. He was born into this life. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a really good Jew, because he also was circumcised the eighth day after his birth. If you go back into the Pentateuch, you read all the laws of the Jews, Paul was one who met them to a T. He met them to a T. He was a guy who followed the law of Moses. I mean, he was a guy who knew it, probably in and out. He followed it. And he was a guy who was zealous for it as well. And some people, of course, are born into this life and they don't have any prior financial help. They don't really have any gain as far as other people giving things to them. Maybe their parents are broke. You see, we all come into life at different points, in different backgrounds. We all come into life in different places. And Paul was one of those people who came in this world at a really good place, that is, physically prosperous. So he came into this life at a really good place. Yet, he forsook all of that. He forsook all of that, as we just read in that text, really, to follow Christ. So he could have continued his Judaic career. He could have continued to be a Jew, a really, really high-ranking Pharisee in his sect, is what you would call it, his sect. He could have been a really high-ranking Pharisee, yet he chose not to. Why again? Just to follow Christ. It's really the equivalent of a king walking away from a throne that was just handed to him. Maybe after he just walked, he would just try to get that throne his whole life, and now he's walking away from it, this king. This is really the same as Paul, because Paul could have had it all, earthly prosperous, that is, yet he chose to be spiritually prosperous in Christ. And in the Messiah, that, remember, Jews also prayed for their whole lives, in the Messiah Christ. Why did he forsake it all? Why did he forsake it all? Because of Jesus. Now let's start there in verses 1 through 3 once again. Let's read once again verses 1 through 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For to me, to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, beware of the circumcision, worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Maybe some heavy words there, maybe we might not understand what that means at first, but the first thing I want you to notice in verse 1 is that it's not tedious to write these things to this church. Who are the recipients of this letter? The Philippian Church of Christ. Brethren back in that day, just as we're brethren today, in the fellowship of Christ and the body of Christ. This was to the Philippian Church of Christ, these Christians. And Paul really starts out saying here, okay, here we have another thing that I'm really reaffirming to you, retelling you about. So Paul's already been talking to them about these things. He's already taught them about these things, no doubt also, in being there and preaching to them in his missionary journeys and times when he's been there with the Philippians. And he's saying, it's not tedious, but it's safe for you. So we might think that reading through the Scriptures might be tedious. You know, maybe reading our Bible once again, for the entire Bible once again every year. We read it over again. But we learn something new every time, don't we? We learn something new every time we open the Bible, read it, we're encouraged more, we gain more confidence in Christ more, we gain more confidence in God more. Every time we open the Scriptures, every time that we take some time out of our day and read this Bible, it helps us out. And really, that's what Paul is saying here. I may have told you these things before, Christians, but I'm telling you again, because it's safe for you, because it's taking care of you, because it's my job as a preacher to take care of you as well. I'm concerned for your souls and taking care of you. Now, that's the first emphasis that I really want you to see. He's keeping them safe from all sorts of evil that would pervert them. One passage we can look at is Colossians chapter 2. So I'm asking you to turn there, Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 11 through 15. Colossians 2, 11 through 15. In him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So we're talking about two things here. Really what Paul is talking about in the main context, before we continue on, is the true circumcision of Christ and the circumcision of the flesh. What were Jews always concerned about? The Pharisees. They were concerned about being circumcised. Are you circumcised? Why? In Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says they were to be circumcised on the eighth day. Every one of those Jews. So, once again, that's not what matters anymore in the new law. What matters is the circumcision of Christ, that which is spiritual. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, that is the old law, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Then it talks about letting no one judge you in those things of the old law. Well, of course, we're under the new law now, Christians. So really what he's talking about here, what he's warning them about, is Paul knew about all those things. He knew about circumcision. He was circumcised as a Jew properly. He was a Jew of Jews, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Yet, he chose to forsake all of that, as we're going to see, and follow Christ. So let's continue now in verse 4. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. Philippians 3 and verse 4, main text. Keep your bookmarker there, if you would. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, this is Paul talking, circumcised the eighth day, here it is, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, that is Christians, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. The law, of course, he's talking about being the old law. He was blameless according to the old law. He followed everything in the law of Moses. This man was a Jew of Jews. He knew it all to the T. Of course, he would be humbled on that road to Damascus. And that's what we're going to talk about here in a second. He was a top-notch Jew. Let's turn to Acts chapter 22. Acts 22. We're going to start in verse 1. Keep your bookmarker there. Acts 22. This is really whenever Paul's talking about to really his brethren, the Jews, to, of course, older men of the Jews. He's making his defense, of course, for Christ, making his defense for himself as a Christian, how he chose to change his whole lifestyle over to Christ. Acts 22 and verse 1. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silence. So now Paul's also speaking to them in their own language. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. Verse 4, I persecuted this way, that is Jesus' way, the Christians, to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Continue on, verse 5. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there, to Jerusalem, to be punished. Now, we're going to read in verse 6 later how he would have that, really, that vision on the road to Damascus where Jesus would talk to him. Before we go into that, he's making his defense. So, this is just a little more about Paul. This man is a Jew of Jews. He's a guy who knows everything there is to know about Judaism. He's a guy who knows the law. He follows the law to the T. He's a zealous man for the old law. So if you think about zeal today, we might have Christians today who you can really look at that individual and you can see that as a zealous Christian. That guy doesn't take really any nonsense. He's always standing up for God. He's always standing up for the New Testament. That was how Paul was for the law of Moses. He stood up for the Old Testament. And that man was willing to go out and literally have people killed for the sake of the Old Testament. For the sake of really what he believed in. And believing in killing those who were probably heretics. Those who maybe forsook Judaism and went to Christ. Calling them heretics, calling them all sorts of things and stoning them. He would do all those sorts of things. And he would have other people do that. Paul was guilty of all those things. Then we know him to be a what? An apostle of Christ eventually later? So this man has a really big background. A really, really big account. This is really a terrible man in the face of Christianity. A terrible man before in his life. That is in the former things. Of course, he'd become an apostle. How is that? Why would he do that? Why would he just forsake everything like that? Now let's continue on. Verse 7. Go back to our main text. Philippians 3 and verses 7 through 9 now. Philippians 3, 7 through 9. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Did you notice what he just said? What things were gained to me? He's talking about earthly prosperity, physical wealth, physical rank, physical gain. This man could have had a name of names. This man could have had a title in his life. Like a king of men, really, of his religion, even. Not even only of men, but of his religion. So, this man really could have had it all. Wealth, power as a Pharisee, they would have had all those things. Continue on there. Verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of guess who? Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. You realize that this man just called his entire livelihood before Christ rubbish? This man, having been a person who trained, no doubt, in types of preaching schools as a Jew, trained at the feet of a really high-up teacher named as Gamaliel, now he's calling everything in his former life rubbish. That would be like me living as a preacher, maybe for who knows how many years. Think about a really maybe old-timey preacher. Think about maybe a middle-aged preacher, whatever you want to think about. And he's worked all of his life for this one thing, for this testament, for this old law. And now, he just changed over to this new law. Everyone sees it. He just randomly changes. And of course, he's making his defense there in Acts 22. But he calls everything in the past, in his former life, rubbish. He calls all of it basically for nothing. It's all useless. All of it. Everything he did against Christ is useless. Everything he did for the old law was useless. Why? Because the New Testament is here. Why? It's useless. Paul himself, as this man, the Jew of Jews, who we just read about in these texts, is calling everything in his former life useless. This man is a great example. Do you see that? Not only Judaism, we can think about other religions. We can think about Hinduism. We can think about Islam. We can think about Catholicism. We can think about all these different denominations and religions, all these things all over the world, and all these different people that might be converted to Christ and the New Testament's way. They have to forget all those former things in their life. Count them as rubbish. Count them as a loss for guess who? Christ. Count them as loss for Christ. That's what Paul is doing here. So realize how hard this is for really Paul to do this. You would think it's hard. But Paul literally just calls it rubbish. His entire life's work, really, up to this point. And now he's going to change the whole course of his life, of course, for Christianity. He's going to follow the Messiah now that he prayed for his whole life. I tell you, if I was a Jew back in that day, I would be excited to know that the Messiah is here. To know that the Messiah just spoke to me like that on the road to Damascus. To know that, yes, this actually is the Messiah. They were praying for this Messiah every year, every month they were praying for the Messiah to come, for Jesus to come. They were praying for that person to come, for God to come. And of course, when he did, they persecuted him to death. And of course, whenever Paul eventually knew it was actually him, he was excited about it. He had joy. He counted everything behind as loss for Christ. He chose to change the whole course of his life. So realize as he's reaffirming these things here to the Philippian church, he has a lot of background. Paul is a man who has really a name. The Jews know him. Pharisees over here in Jerusalem, Pharisees over here in Capernaum, Pharisees over here in Cilicia, they all know Paul. They all know Paul the Apostle. He was tasked to go attack these Christians over here, take them out of their house, bring them to Jerusalem to be stoned. Stone these guys over here. Stone Stephen. We know Stephen. Paul was that guy. And now, what in the world, Paul? You just changed your whole life to follow this Christ guy now? Why'd you do that? How could Paul do that? Of anyone that I would think, why would Paul do that? That's what they're saying. Of course, Paul's trying to tell the church here, I'm a man who's been through this. I'm a man who understands what it's like to be on the other side. And yet, I'm counting that all as rubbish. Whether it's Catholicism, whether it's Islam, whether it's whatever religion you can think of, there's like millions of them. I'm counting it all as rubbish. Why? To follow these words. The New Testament. These are not just words printed on a page. Do you understand what these words are? These are the words of God. They're not just words written by a man. These are holy, inspired scriptures. That's what you're reading this morning. So don't count them as just another book. Because these words are what might save you today. What might get you your heart pricked. What might have you eventually baptized. Wash away your sins and then go to heaven after this life. These words are something to be concerned about. Paul understood that. Paul understood. Now, he counted earthly prosperity as nothing, and spiritual prosperity in Christ as everything. He counted gaining Christ as everything. Everything in his former life, rubbish. Everything physical, really, rubbish. So this is really a great example that we can look at today. And maybe coming from different avenues of life, from different denominations, we can look at these things and at Paul and see the same type of situation. He went through the same thing, this apostle that we know. Now let's go back to Acts 22. Acts 22, keep your marker there. We're going to read verses 6 through 21. Acts 22, 6 through 21. We have quite a bit of time still, so Acts 22, 6 through 21. This is that account. Whenever he's on the road to Damascus, this is Paul's conversion account. Verse 6, Acts 22. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with him and me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. Verse 10, So I said to him, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, notice this, having a good testimony with all the Jews who were there, came to me and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At that same hour I looked up at him. There was a miracle. Verse 14, Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will. And see the just one, that's Jesus, and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be with his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happens, verse 17, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance. And I saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly. For they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. Did you see what he just said there? He's confessing it again, his former life. Verse 20, When the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, Stephen from Acts 7, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Depart, for I will send you afar from here to the Gentiles. Who's Paul talking to here again? He's talking to the Jews. This is his defense to his own brethren. He's talking about his conversion account. He's saying he's confessing again. He talks about how he confesses, look what I did, verse 19. I beat those who believe in Christ. I even had Stephen killed. And now in Philippians, he's saying to them again, recounting it, he's counting it all lost for Christ. He's counting it as rubbish. This is a man that's a great example. This is a man that really dedicated his life to God. This was a zealous man. We talked about one previous Wednesday, misplaced zeal. Paul had some misplaced zeal. He had a lot of it. He had a lot of misplaced zeal. He didn't have it in the right place. It wasn't in the Messiah. It wasn't in the really important things of the law. That is what the law was leading to, that it was leading to Christ and the New Testament and the church. And of course, to heaven ultimately. But Paul, he was willing to count everything in his past loss, and of course obey Christ. So Paul understood one thing, and I might add this as well, that it's more important to obey Christ. It's more important to obey God now. If God told me to do something right now, it's more important to obey God. Paul understood that. And so he counted everything in the past loss, everything he formerly did as loss. So all of this, verse 8, that he may gain Christ. That was the last five words that you see there. That I may gain Christ. Counted everything as rubbish. Now verses 10 through 11, let's read it. A few more things. Philippians 3, 10 through 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So, what we have there, what we're talking about, is Paul is really disregarding here his earthly power. He's disregarding all of his prosperity that he can have on this earth, and he's choosing to obey his God. Really, as we just said, he's forgetting all those former things, maybe his rank, his status, his wealth, his fame, his prosperity in life, and he's choosing to obey God because he knows that the true prosperity that he needs to be concerned about is in God, is in heaven, is in Christ. Because the only way you can get to heaven is by Christ. Now, Paul did exactly what Jesus told his disciples to do. If we go to Matthew chapter 16, so keep your marker there still, and Matthew 16 and verses 24 through 26. Jesus told his disciples something here, and Paul is really living that. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." That's what Paul did. He denied himself. "Take up his cross and follow me." Paul followed Jesus. "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it." That's earthly prosperity. "Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." That's spiritual prosperity. Verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Are you really going to sacrifice your entire eternity after this life, the thing that really matters, for this little tidbit of life here on this earth that you have? Are you going to sacrifice that entire eternity just to live in sin this short amount of time? In this little vapor amount of life? Are you really going to do that? That's really what Paul understood. Why would I sacrifice all these things for Judaism when I know the true way, when I know God's way? Why would I sacrifice that? Why would I sacrifice all these things for Catholicism, for these men, for Islam, for all these different types of gods and all the chaos of them? Why would I sacrifice for pagans, for idolatry, when I can know the true God that created the world, the foundations of it, and created the universe, when I can obey Him today with the words He's given to me to be saved? Why would I do that? Paul understood these things, and we should as well, Christians. So he disregarded that earthly power. He wanted to know and obey his God. He had a serious, sincere heart in wanting to know his God. Now, Luke chapter 18, I'll read it for you real quick. Luke 18, 24 through 30. 18, 24 through 30. "And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, 'How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And those who heard it said, 'Who then can be saved?' Verse 27, but he said, 'The things which are impossible with men are possible with God.' Then Peter said, 'See, we have left all and followed you.'" That's what Paul did, isn't it? He left all and followed Jesus. "So he said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life." Talking about God taking care of them in life and God taking care of them in spiritual life. So, that's what Paul, of course, knew. He understood. Paul counted everything lost to gain Christ. That's what Peter did. That's what Simon the Zealot did. That's what all the other apostles did that we can think of. That's what Matthew did. Remember Levi the tax collector? All those different apostles, they counted all that loss to follow Christ. Their entire former life, maybe their professions. We know Simon the Zealot. He was also a really, really tight-knit Jew. Simon the Zealot was a man who was in this sect called the Zealots. And he left everything to follow Christ. He was also comparable to a man like Paul. He was in his own situation like that. Counted all loss. So, really neat examples that we can look at. Some great men who chose to follow Christ whenever they really didn't have to. Whenever they could have had earthly prosperity as far as just obeying man, doing it man's way. They chose not to. And look how they were blessed even in life. They were blessed with happiness, with prosperity spiritually. And we will be too, Christians. So, one thing that I might remind you as we close this lesson tonight is that we need to forget worldly prosperity and really focus on what really matters. And that is spiritual prosperity, spiritual reward. Press on to the goal. Forget the past. Quit worrying about what you did in the past. Quit worrying about maybe sins of the past. Quit worrying about maybe the religion that you were following in the past. Focus on the future. Focus on the future like Paul did. If Paul sat around worrying about the things he did in his past life all day long, that man could have never lived with himself. He could have never lived with himself. I wouldn't have been able to if I was Paul. If he sat there and worried about how he killed Christians in the past all day long, took them out of their houses, away from their mothers and their fathers and their children and all that, and he killed them, stoned him. He couldn't live with himself if he was thinking about that. So he pressed on. He pressed on to his goal. That's the point. Philippians 3, let's finish it. 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Here he's pressing on to the goal. He's pressing on to those mansions. It doesn't matter how old you are, your work never stops. The work for God will never end. You have to continue to grow. Remember how it always talks about in the New Testament Scriptures? You got to grow. You got to continue to abound in purity. All these different phrases you can look at. You got to keep going, Christians. It doesn't end right now. If you think you can just show up to church services and never grow and be lukewarm, you're wrong. You got to keep growing. You got to keep growing. You can't be a pew warmer. You got to keep growing. You got to read your Bible. You got to study the Scriptures. You got to continue to grow in Christ. You got to remain faithful to Christ and show that you care about your God. You want to do more for your God. You got to give more than you receive. You got to obey Christ's teachings. There's more to the Scriptures than just filling a pew. Do we understand that? Christians, we have to fight for Christ just like He fought for us. That's what it's about. When did we forget that? So that's another challenge to us this morning. But Paul here, he's a man who fought for Christ. He's a man who fought for Christ so much. We can read through the epistles that man gave everything he had for Christ. He counted everything lost and then he suffered like crazy for it. Just because he chose to be a Christian, we don't suffer that much like he did today. We don't. We just don't. In the first century, they suffered a lot. They're those Christians. They lost their lives. To Jews, to Romans, they lost their lives. We don't suffer that much today, Christians, like that. But how much are we suffering? How much are we being different in the world around us? Are we being unique and different as Jesus wants us to be? Are we loving everyone, loving our enemies, loving our neighbors, showing love to them, taking care of people, being the Good Samaritan, taking mind all the parables that Jesus taught about, focusing on the rich reward of heaven? Or are we so focused on physical prosperity in our own lives and these temporary scale of life that we have that we forget all about what really matters? What are we focused on? That's your challenge today, Christians. Let's read the last remainder of verses and we'll be finished. Verse 13. Philippians 3, verse 13. Last few verses. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing forward to those things which are ahead. He's pressing on to the goal for that prize in Christ Jesus. He's pressing on to the heaven, the mansions, everything that Christ Jesus offers, everything that His Messiah gives to Him, that your Messiah gives to you, Christians. You have the same reward as Paul did back then. And you can only get that if you continue to press on. That's how you get that reward. That's how you go to heaven. Otherwise, what's the contrary? We talked about it in the class. What's the contrary? People don't like to say the H-E-L-L. They don't like to say that word, do they? They usually don't like to say that in denominations. But there's an H-E-L-L. And it's a dangerous place. It's a terrible place. And it's an eternal place. It's a torment waiting for us if we choose something other than God. Because God is the one who punishes us if we don't choose Him. And don't choose righteousness. Continue there, verse 15. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So have this mind, Christians. That's what he's telling the Philippians. Have this same type of thinking. Don't remember those things of the past. Press on. You came from a whole bunch of different backgrounds. You got all different families, different lineages, different prosperities. Press on to what really matters. Verse 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. The challenge is yours today, Christians. If you have any needs today, any needs at all, please let us help you this morning. Let us take care of you as your brethren. Let us take care of you as your friends. If you're not a Christian yet, we need to take care of that right now. We need to take care of that today. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to confess that before us today, before men, be willing to repent of your sins. And then, of course, be baptized into the water. We got some water right behind me. Baptized into the water for the remission of your sins and to be added into the kingdom of God, as the New Testament teaches. These words are not from me, they're from God. They're from this book right here. If you're willing to do that today and remain faithful to God all your life, living different, not like the rest of the world, not just being one with the crowd, but focusing on God, pressing on, forgetting everything behind. If you're willing to do that today and have the reward of heaven after this life, that reward is waiting for you. So won't you do something about that today? Won't you do something about your salvation today, about your eternity? Let's take care of that. Let's help you today. If you have any need at all, Christians or those who are not Christians, please let us help you as we come to the front, as we stand and praise God together.
Is a well-known God, is a well-known God.